Healthy Alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. I'm Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. What Healthy Alternatives is about is most of us really want to reach optimum levels of health and wellness. We want to feel better, live long, and enjoy life even more. And that's what I attempt to bring you on each of the Healthy Alternative shows. My guest I'm going to be interviewing in a little bit is Dr. Julie Chen. She's a board-certified integrative medicine physician. She's got a clinic in San Jose, California, and she incorporates many different types of alternative therapies in her practice. She has a background in internal medicine. She's worked in corporate wellness in Silicon Valley companies, and she's been published in magazines, newspapers, and been interviewed on radio and TV shows. And we're going to be talking about the holidays and healthy eating so that you don't put on lots of weight, or at least you stay the same as you were before the holidays. We'll be talking to Dr. Julie in just a moment. Every week, I like to begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you. What I want to talk about this week is a study that was released by Harvard School of Public Health, which they found that mammograms may not only be inappropriate for breast cancer screening, but they may actually contribute to significant overdiagnosis of cancer that would otherwise have remained harmless. One of the lead authors actually said mammograms may not be appropriate for use in breast cancer screenings because they're diagnosing breast cancers that wouldn't cause any symptoms and wouldn't cause death, because they can't really distinguish now when they look at a mammogram whether something is going to be a progressive cancer or one that they call non-progressive, means it's not going to do any harm. So the scientists also suggested that women really need to know the potential harm of mammogram errors, because the problem is once they're diagnosed with a mammogram, kicks in where you've got to get a biopsy, you've got to get treatment, and a lot of it may be unnecessary because it may never have developed into cancer at all. So if you're getting a mammogram, you need to explore the value of that for you before you say okay to getting it done. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can go to teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I also do a free monthly e-newsletter called The Teplitz Report. It's health, nutrition, wellness oriented, but it's usually things I'm covering that are different from what I share with you on Healthy Alternatives. You can sign up at teplitz.com. You'll see the About Home button. You get a drop-down menu. You can sign up there. Every week, I like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough. It's the newest discoveries, latest information about healthy alternatives you can use for yourself, your family, and loved ones. I want to talk about a substance called bergamot. Bergamot, when you drink Earl Grey tea, has a type of orangey fragrance, and that is what bergamot is. Now, bergamot is a polyphenol. What that means is it's an antioxidant. It's similar to red wine, tea, berries, soy, coca, and other foods that have high contents of polyphenols. Now, bergamot juice, when it's been extracted, concentrated, standardized in tablet form, is extremely powerful healing substance. It dramatically lowers triglycerides and LDL cholesterol, the bad kind. It raises the protective kind, which is the HDL cholesterols. It even helps control blood sugar, improves arterial function and cardiovascular health. So what bergamot does in terms of lowering the LDL cholesterol, it gets to a level that is actually similar to what statin drugs do. It also raises the HDL, which is something statins cannot do. In a placebo-controlled study, the researchers gave volunteers either 500 milligrams or 1,000 milligrams of bergamot extract daily. After 1 month, the average LDL of the two groups fell by 37 and 39%. The HDL increased by 38 to 43%, and triglycerides declined by 38 to 42%. These are pretty mind-blowing numbers. One of the problems with statins also is they interfere with the absorption of CoQ10 by the body, and CoQ10 is involved with energy for us. It's used in the cells to create energy, and it turns out that bergamot doesn't interfere with CoQ10 at all, so it's an even better substance to use to keep your energy level up. Now, bergamot also is effective against metabolic syndrome. Metabolic syndrome is the precursor before you get into full-blown type 2 diabetes. In a clinical trial, between 500 and 1,000 milligrams of bergamot per day lowered blood sugar by 22%, which is actually equal, if not superior, to what diabetes drugs can do. So bergamot is something that is tremendously beneficial on a whole range of levels for us, and it should be something we need to look at including as a supplement in our program. Before I bring on my guest, Dr. Julie Chen, I'd like to talk to you about a book I've done called Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. It's a book that is full of techniques, approaches you can use to get rid of headaches in 90 seconds, migraines in 5 minutes, sinus colds, stiff necks, sore shoulders, lower back pain. There's a whole range of things that you can do to immediately handle those stresses you're experiencing. You can learn more about it at my website at teplitz.com. Click on the products button and then go to books. You can also get it on amazon.com. My guest today is Dr. Julie Chen. She is a board-certified integrative medicine physician. She's got her own clinic in San Jose, California. She incorporates medical acupuncture, Chinese scalp acupuncture, osteopathic manipulation, clinical hypnotherapy, vitamin herbal therapy into her practice. Her background is in internal medicine, and she's worked in corporate wellness in a variety of Silicon Valley-based corporations, and she's been published in magazines and newspapers, and she's regularly featured on radio and TV programs. And we're going to be talking to Dr. Julie about weight loss with the holidays coming up. So, Dr. Julie, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you for having me again.
Oh, you're most welcome. And just for listeners who may not be aware of it, but in the archives, I think I've done about 3 or 4 interviews with Dr. Julie, so you can go listen to those. So the holidays are coming up. And so people tend to gain weight during the holiday season, even when their goal is to lose weight or praying more like to maintain what they got. Mm-hmm. What goes on with all of that?
You know, I think one thing that I see all the time in my clinic is that a lot of times the holiday season, because it is also stressful, but it's also a time where people kind of give themselves the freedom to kind of let things go and not be too stringent on things. So it's almost as though they're mentally prepared for the holiday season to be a freebie sometimes. And I see that a lot in my clinic. And so all the hard work they've kind of been going and doing throughout the whole year, you know, once the holiday season starts to roll around, you've got the, you know, Halloween in October, then, you know, Thanksgiving here, and then, you know, Christmas and the Hanukkah and stuff, and people start to eat more and more, and then it's around January time when they start to make the resolutions that they try to undo it. So I think that's one of the bigger problems, and also all because there's a lot more parties. So there's events where people can be eating a lot more, especially of the unhealthy food, so that tends to be a problem.
You mean just because there are a bunch of potato chips out there, you got to stay away from them?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe if there's a bowl of candy, maybe we should not be eating that if we're trying to lose weight. But yeah, no, I think you definitely want to enjoy the holiday season, but I think sometimes my patients, I see that a lot, they'll come in and there's this almost like freebie mentality for the holiday season where they have to be stringent the rest of the year, but this time it's all okay, and then they almost overdo it. And so I think that can be part of the problem.
One of the things also that I see is for a lot of people who, you know, still have difficulty in their relationships with mm-hmm. their family members, mm-hmm. getting back together and being together for a number of days at a time mm-hmm. can just kind of re-trigger you saying, oh, let me feel better by eating something.
Right, and I think that's a great point because I think sometimes also when you have the family members in and let's say you eat healthy on your own, but let's say your family doesn't have the healthiest habits and they tend to overindulge. So when you're back in that environment, it's almost like you're 14 or 15 again if you were back to that childhood environment where food wasn't always eaten in a healthy way. You might revert back to that as well, which is a problem, you know. And a lot of times also it may not be a negative. It could be a positive thing where a lot of families use food as a time to connect, and so they sit around the food and eat all night, and then it ends up being almost too much. But it's a positive thing, but at the same time, it's not positive to be gaining the weight.
So how can someone try to prevent these kind of weight loss things from disrupting what they've been attempting to do with keeping weight off or taking weight off prior
yeah.
to the holidays?
Yeah, it's really hard, but I think the main thing I generally say to patients, and that has worked out well for patients, you know, above and beyond little tricks that we'll be talking about later, but I think, you know, main thing is to keep in mind what your goals are and to not to lose that sight of the goals during the holiday season. So even if you're, you know, with your family again, or if you're doing a positive thing where you're sitting around the table enjoying the meal with your family, still make that be at the forefront of your mind as to what it is that you're doing there at the table. You're not sitting there to gorge, but rather enjoy the time with the family and eat the healthier stuff at the table. I think being mindful and what I call mindful eating is extremely important throughout the entire year, and especially during the holiday season, because if you keep the goal in mind that you're trying to lose weight, that's what you really want to aim for, and then your behavior will usually follow that a little closer.
Now, what are some ways of preventing snacking when you're at the office? Because people start bringing in, you know, different holiday treats, quote unquote.
Yeah. I think that's definitely one of the hardest things. And one thing to know about yourself is, are you somebody where you can have a little and you're fine? Or are you the type of person where you, once you start, you can't stop and you eat the whole thing? And if that's the case, you really should have healthy alternatives at hand. So whether it's nuts, whether it's healthier, like dark chocolate that's greater than 70% cocoa, things like that that are an option that's healthier, or maybe let's say green tea with a little bit of stevia for sweetness, just so you're drinking a lot and you feel more full and then you won't be gorging as much at the snacks table. But if you're someone where you can actually taste a little and then you're done, maybe what I would do is take a little bit of the snack, but then don't eat it while you're still in front of the snack bar. You know, walk back to your table and just eat that little bit and then you're done.
Yeah, then I can't get more.
I know. That's the point.
Oh, that's the point. Oh, okay.
Right. And so, and the other thing that you can actually do is to try to walk around it and not walk in front of it. So if you know routes in your office where you can, you know, purposely avoid that area, I would. So, you know, it's really, again, being mindful about what your goals are. So if you are able to keep the goals in mind, you're able to kind of work around it.
One thought would be also maybe to have conversations with folks in your office about this year, let's make what we're bringing in as healthy as we can.
I think
and see if people are willing to do that. Have you ever talked to about folks about doing that?
Well, here's the thing is the ones that usually have a problem with it are the ones either it's a big office or they themselves don't really want to even have that conversation. Do you know what I mean? Again, it's that, like, do you really want this to happen or don't you? And so the ones where they want to make sure they're not eating it, they actually will either have that conversation already with their coworkers. They'll actually go for walks instead of bringing in unhealthy foods. They'll bring in healthier options, or they'll not bring in anything at all, or they'll just be able to keep away from it altogether. I think part of the problem is the ones that I mean, this is just clinically what I see. The ones that I have seen where it's been more of a problem, it's almost like they're having a hard time convincing themselves that they want not to have that in the clinic or they want or in their office and that they want to not eat that. So I think the biggest part is to have that goal in their mind firmly, in which case I think if they do, then I think they're willing to have those conversations with their coworkers. But I think first and foremost, they have to actually say to themselves, no, you really don't want to have that cake in there, versus they don't really want to have that conversation because it's their freebie time, right? So they're supposed to be able to eat this at this time. So again, it's that mindset I usually try to work with them first and foremost, because in a lot of the healthy habits they already know, they just have to get themselves to do it.
So this is the fifth party you're going to this week. How do you control that when you're just going to so many places where it's so easy to overeat and eat stuff that's not the best for you?
Yeah, I think this is again very common of a problem during the holiday season. I think for women, you know, I would, when you're at the party, if you're holding water or your purse in your hand, you can't overload on the plate because you just don't have enough hands to hold on to all the food. For men, you know, a coat or something that you can hold on to, or just a cup of water. And again, not to drink too much alcoholic beverages because that's very, you know, high in caloric intake. So a lot of that, keeping one hand busy so you only have one hand to eat, kind of lessens the amount that you'll be eating. But if it's a dinner party, I think one thing to keep in mind is if you actually fill up a little bit ahead of time with some crudités and some fiber-filled veggies, and then when you go to the party, make sure you eat all your vegetables first, and then you naturally can't eat as much because you just feel sick because it's just so much food at that point. So eat all the healthy veggies first and fill up your stomach, and then that way there just isn't as much left in your stomach for you to eat the unhealthy stuff.
So you just created a new Zen koan. What's the sound of one hand not eating?
Yeah. Exactly.
So what's the, would you say, is the biggest hidden source for those excess calories that you're going to potentially be putting into you at parties during the holidays?
I think a couple of different things. One is I mentioned before, the alcoholic beverages or the cocktails. They're extremely high in calories, and then you walk around and you're just drinking and drinking it, and then you almost lose count sometimes how many you've had, and it could easily be 1,000 calories and you didn't even know it. You know, it's only in liquid form that you just took all that calories in. And then the other thing is finger foods. You know, a lot of people pick at these finger foods, and they could be deviled eggs or, you know, little fried tidbits, and all of those things add up, and then at some point, middle of the night, you've consumed like 3,000 calories, and you have no idea. It's between your alcohol and the little finger foods. And then sometimes with the dinner parties, it's, you know, the hors d'oeuvres and the drinks. By the time you get to dinner, you've already taken in 2,000 calories. Now you're supposed to eat a full dinner. It's just, you know, those definitely start to sneak up on you at the party, so I would keep an eye out for that.
So before we continue, I'd like to remind you, you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net, and we'll be back with my guest, Dr. Julie Chen, in just a moment.
I'd like to talk to you about a book that I've done called Switched On Networking. What Switched On Networking is about, it's my joining with my co-author, Donna Fisher. She is an expert on networking. She's done many books about it. In each of the chapters, she does the technique, both for online and face-to-face networking and social media, those kinds of things. And then at the end of each chapter, I do the approach of brain rewiring, to switch your brain on for everything that Donna teaches you. It's a great book. You can find out more about it at switchedonnetworking.com. That's switchedonnetworking.com.
So my guest today is Dr. Julie Chen. She's a board-certified integrative medicine physician. She's got her own clinic in San Jose, California, and she incorporates a whole range of complementary alternative approaches within her medical practice. Her background's originally in internal medicine, and she's been featured on radio and TV programs many, many times. So, and we're talking about weight loss and maintaining your weight during the holiday season. So, Dr. Julie, can you give us an example of, we'll call it an alternative holiday dinner? What would that look like if you wanted to keep calorie servings low while you're still feeling like you actually had a holiday dinner?
A great question. I think, you know, one thing that's a lot of people don't think it's doable, but it's actually very doable. And some of the foods that we traditionally have for the holidays can be very low in calories. And when consumed with, again, mindful eating so that you're not over consuming the food until you get to the point where you're so bloated and then you feel like, oh my God, when did I overeat? You know, so some of the foods that you can have on a alternative holiday dinner table might be, you know, turkey is definitely fine. I would definitely, if you're trying to lose a lot of weight, hold on, try to focus on more of the lean white meat of the breasts. Cranberry sauce can be something that's actually made in a way where it's extremely low in calories.
Is gravy an okay or not?
So here's the thing, is it depends. So if you're, because gravy comes in a lot of different forms, and if you put in a lot of butter and a whole lot of thickeners and all that stuff, then the caloric count goes up. But if you're one where you're literally taking some of the juice of the turkey and you're putting some spices in it and you're using that as your quote-unquote gravy, that's probably okay, primarily because you didn't put in all that butter and thickener and all that stuff. So, and you're just using the spices and literally just the turkey juice. So when you say gravy, everybody's gravy is almost a little different. So if you're doing like a thin gravy like that, it probably is fine. But, you know, I'm big on the vegetables for the holiday season still. And regarding stuffing and things like that, some of my patients will make some of their stuffing out of quinoa-based products, which are more protein-based. So, again, it's, you know, going to fill you up more. It's going to stabilize your sugars in your bloodstream. So you'll naturally eat a little less, and it actually tastes really good.
So with my being a vegetarian, one of the things I've seen about Thanksgiving is people are always concerned, you know, my God, you're going to starve. And then I talk to them about how you have so many side dishes that you're basically you're overeating anyway, but you're eating with stuff that's, you know, denser food, and so you're filling up, but it's not as many calories that you're getting in.
Right, and the vegetables tend to be very filling because of the fiber, and the volume of it is there, but again, that calorie count is kept lower unless you're making a lot of those vegetables and butter and stuff, so just be very careful about how you make the vegetables. That's a great point. And one thing I do want to say for the vegetarians out there is that for, you know, there are a lot of meat substitutes out there now. And so the ones that are made out of like a lot of the soy and then they're kind of deep fried or it can be very fatty. So don't misconstrue that just because it's vegetarian, it's extremely low in calories. So if there's a lot of substitution meats on the holiday dinner table and there's some level of, you know, fried or things like that, you know, that still can be very high in calories. So keep that in mind if you're trying to maintain your weight or lose weight during the holiday season.
So let's turn to the part of the dinner that's the most dangerous, and that's dessert. Any options there that you can see?
Well, here's the thing is I love fruit for dessert for those who are wanting a little something sweet, but they don't want to basically have anything that's going to be artificial in their system or cause too much of a sugar spike, although fruit can be very sugary, especially for those with glucose intolerance or sugar issues. So if you want to try some fruit for the holiday season dessert, sometimes what I'll have patients do is I'll have them freeze some of the fruit, so it's almost like a frozen treat. And if you want to drizzle dark chocolate over it, that's something that's a potentially healthier option. There are desserts that you can make. I mean, I have a lot of autoimmune patients like rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, et cetera, and they can't eat a lot of processed foods. And so they'll make their own cakes and things like that using stevia, using flours that are not full of gluten and dairy. And so they make their own desserts that way. I still would caution with that if it's a weight loss issue, because again, even with those healthier options, you still can consume a lot and there still can be a lot of carbs in there and a lot of sugar. So it's obviously better if you make it like that, but still it's, you want to watch the actual serving size.
Now, holidays can be difficult for getting your exercise in because of all the stuff going on, the amount of time you're with family and friends. Is there a way you're aware of to get kind of a high caloric burn from your workouts, so you're kind of in a short period of time, so you're burning off some of those calories that are coming at you?
Oh, yeah. So my favorite is actually interval training. And what that means is you do some weightlifting, like muscle building activities alongside cardio. And that's usually more higher intensity cardio. So, for example, a typical potential interval workout might be 2 minutes of some sort of high repetition weight training of a muscle group or multiple muscle groups, preferably, and then a minute of plyometrics or running on the treadmill, things like that. Obviously, all exercise programs have to be cleared by a physician first, and if you don't really know what you're doing, you should probably get a trainer for a few sessions just so you can get the right form so you don't injure yourself. But that kind of interval training is really effective in the sense that you're going to burn a lot of calories in that sitting. And because you're also working on building muscles, over the long term, even when you're not working out, that extra muscle helps to burn more calories, because muscles burn so much more calories than fat in general. And so that's definitely a workout for somebody where they don't have a lot of time and they just want to get a quick burn in as far as caloric burn. And so you can do anywhere from, you know, 10 minutes a couple times a day, or 15 minutes twice a day, or even if you're doing really high intensity, maybe even 20 minutes a day is about enough. And the other option, there's something called Tabata. I don't know if you've heard about that, but Tabata is something where they actually do 20-second intervals of high intensity, whether it's weightlifting training, strength training, or cardio. So you get 20 seconds of a high burst and then 10 seconds of rest, 20 seconds of a high burst, 10 seconds of rest, and then you do that for about 20 minutes or 30 minutes, depending on your conditioning. And if you can't do all that, maybe even 10 minutes. So I like variety in the workouts, and these higher intensity where you're interval training, where you're going between cardio and strength training, really burn a lot more calories.
Now, if somebody did put on some weight during this holiday season, are there any kind of weight loss supplements that you think are kind of safe options and that work out there?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of green tea, because that's been seen in studies to help with increasing kind of resting metabolic rate and help with your just general ability to burn through calories even when you're sitting there. And so that's, you know, something that's safe. And just so people know, the extract itself in high concentrations sometimes really might lead to liver elevation. So I always prefer the real form. Like if you can drink cups of green tea, it's always a little safer. And then African mango is also a great option.
Julie, hold on a second. On the cups of green tea, how many cups a day would you say for somebody who's looking to have it as a weight loss supplement to
So here's up. The thing is, if the caffeine doesn't bother you, because the caffeine in there is what also one of the main reasons it helps with the weight loss. So decaffeinated kind of defeats the purpose a little bit. So if you're having issues with caffeine, this is probably not the best option for you. But if you're fine with the caffeine and you can drink it earlier in the day, I say anywhere between 3 to 5 cups a day. And the additional benefit is that, you know, in the epidemiological studies, patients who drank a lot of green tea, like 5 cups a day, had lower risks of a lot of the different types of cancer. So a lot of the antioxidant benefits are there as well.
And what was the other supplement you started talking about?
Sure. So African mango is another one I really like that's pretty safe. And then the another one called Garcinia cambogia. It's actually a fruit rind, like a fruit, but then the rind, there's a component called hydroxycitric acid. And they've made that into a supplement. And that supplement tends to help as well. Like African mango and the Garcinia are two of the common ones I tend to recommend for weight loss. Having said that, any supplement that anybody uses should be cleared by their physician first, because some of the interactions might be with meds, and sometimes it's appropriate for one person and not for another. And most of these weight loss supplements I don't really recommend using for longer than 12 weeks, because a lot of the studies don't go beyond that. And so just to be safe, it should be used as an augmentation of a healthy lifestyle change and not a end-all be-all, and that's the only thing that you're using for weight loss.
Where can you get these supplements? Just at health food stores?
Yeah, I don't sell any supplements in my clinics, and I don't endorse any brands in specific for these. But I would say, a lot of the supplement stores or online is a good idea. And then if you're really not sure one brand over another, I would bring it in to your physician and ask, because they'll know your past medical history and see which one's appropriate for you.
So, last question. Should someone wait until the entire holiday season is over or into January before trying to lose weight that they may have gained, or should they be doing some stuff during the holiday? It doesn't matter.
I think it's important that people establish patterns of healthy lifestyle, and I wouldn't even call it dieting per se, just, menu management or their activity management, so the exercise and the diet, that they do that all year round. And so even during the holiday season, I wouldn't say that you should beat yourself up if you're not losing as quickly as you were outside the holiday season. So if you are just maintaining your weight while keeping a healthy lifestyle during the holiday season, I think that's great. And then you can pick it back up a little more intensely after the holiday season. But, during the holiday season, if you're eating a lot more, all of that healthy lifestyle stuff is really just to try to make sure that you don't backslide and revert back and lose all the benefit, and the footing that you've gained throughout the year with your weight loss. So, but my recommendation is definitely don't wait until the holiday season's over before you make any diet or lifestyle changes. Or, the other thing is don't put your lifestyle changes and your diet changes on hold during the holiday season and then restart them in January, because it really should just be a habit that you're keeping throughout the entire year. Most people are a lot more successful with their weight loss if they're able to do that.
So, for listeners who would like to explore more about what Julie Chen has available, you can go to her website at www.makinghealthyeasy, and it's letter E, letter Z.com. Makinghealthyeasy.com. Dr. Julie, have a great holiday season. Keep your weight down, and thanks for being a guest today on Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you. You as well.
Next week, my guest is going to be Tom Cavanaugh. Tom has 3 decades of sales experience and a heavy background in neurolinguistic programming, NLP, hypnotherapy, and accelerated learning. He's got a bachelor's in clinical hypnotherapy, a master's in transpersonal psychology, as well as numerous certifications in NLP, mind mapping, and photo reading. He created his company New Training Strategies so he could share this information with people. And we're going to be focusing in on mind mapping. Mind mapping is a way of taking that standard kind of outlining and changing it so it works like your brain works. It allows you to become more creative, remember things better, get more things done. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.